So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review.
Hey, little brother, it's me. I know you stood up to Zeus. I'm damn proud of you. But now it's my turn.
Welcome to Review Away. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting, and today we are going to play film critics for a classic movie. But how are you doing, Wei? Are you cold right now? You look all, you have multiple layers on.
Yeah.
No. You have a hoodie and you have a jacket.
Yeah, I'm very warm. Thank you for asking.
Well, that's good. There's no air conditioning in here, so it shouldn't be too cold.
No, it's not. But it's not like I'm comfortable.
Why did you pick this movie? What was your desire? Was it simply the just not enough Tiny Lister from Uncensored that you just needed a little bit more?
Well, to be completely honest, I really dread watching these 3-hour wrestling pay-per-views. I really do, and I've said it before, just because so much of it is just bullshit that I don't care about, and. You probably don't care much about either. I don't even know how much our audience really cares about some garbage undercard matches. They just take up so much time. 3 hours. 3 hours. And not just 3 hours, but 3 hours, you know, plus just taking notes and everything. That I just wanted something different. I wanted something different. I wanted a movie, and, you know, this was heavily requested in the request thread. It really is required viewing for fans of bad wrestling.
Yes. Absolutely a famous movie. If you are a wrestling fan, this was the WWF's first venture into the world of motion pictures with this 1989 classic starring Hulk Hogan as Rip. You know, back in Hulk Hogan's second book that he came up to Toronto, actually, to tour and promote, in that book he talks about the fact that when me and Vince met in Tampa, and we locked ourselves in a room for 48 hours, and we banged out this entire script, the two of us, and then we got some writer to just clean it up a little.
Really?
One of Hulk Hogan's many legendary stories. All right. I imagine this man did not put pen to paper on any of this, though the quality certainly does reflect an amateur output.
I completely believe that he and Vince wrote this over 48 hours. Why he would admit to it, I have no idea. Why would you take credit for this piece of garbage?
I reached out, Wei, and I wanted to try and have a guest on this show, and I was able to track down one Tiny Lister.
Really?
Who did not accept our invite to come on the show.
Did he respond to you at least?
No, he didn't.
So how did you reach out to him?
I found a management contact for him.
Oh, and they just said, no, he's not interested?
No, they just didn't reply. It makes it sound more impressive that he turned us down. It makes it seem like he disapproves of our podcast. He actually has no clue about our podcast at all.
Right.
Unless he listened last week and loved us up until last week and, you know, holds his run as Z Gangsta in high regard.
Yeah, I doubt that.
How's your week going? Are you doing better than Monday night?
Oh, I was fine Monday night.
You seemed a little tired on Monday, I thought.
No, I'm always full of energy.
I was exhausted on Monday.
No, I felt great on Monday. You talking about last Monday or this Monday?
Like 2 days ago.
2 days ago, right. I don't know what you're getting at. I mean, I'm usually...
Maybe I was just too tired to... I just assumed you were tired as well.
Yeah.
Something about those tape draws, even on tape delay. I mean, great crowd in the UK, but it just feels weird when it's not live. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was fine. I wasn't too tired. I mean, maybe my dinner that night was a little off, but no, I felt good.
Do you think one day, years from now, we're going to go back and review John Cena and Ryback at Extreme Rules, and it'll be like Hulk Hogan and Zeus updated?
Ooh, no, I don't think so.
Not to insult Ryback, certainly... much more mobile than one Zeus.
Yeah, I think the match will be way better. And, you know, these guys don't have a... They haven't started a movie against each other. There's no history like that.
So, yes, it could be a decent match between Cena and Ryback.
I think so.
After Raw on Monday night, are you interested in Extreme Rules right now? It is 6 weeks between pay-per-views. Do you have enough of an interest? Because you did watch Extreme Rules last year with Lesnar.
Yes, I did. No... I can't say. Certainly not in the Triple H Hunter match, or sorry, Triple H Lesnar match. That'd be interested in Triple H fighting himself.
It's funny how in 1989 it was, you know, you had your four pay per views a year, and everyone complains there's too many WWE shows and they should maybe cut back. And now with TNA cutting back, and really in your schedule way, there's two pay per views every year.
Yeah.
There's Rumble and WrestleMania, and they feel special to you. I mean, you watching a pay-per-view must feel like this is a significant event. You're only going to watch it if you are actually interested in it.
Yeah.
And you never have WWE pay-per-views that you feel, I've got to watch this. You know what I mean?
No, and that's what person should feel that way? I got to watch this.
Well, I feel like that quite a lot, actually.
Right, because it's your job. But I don't know. I don't think you should... go out of your way to pay or even pirate a show if you don't want to. That's silly.
Well, I don't encourage anyone to put themselves through pain.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yet, that's about what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I all week long way, I put off watching this movie. Well, I feel like I just watched this movie, and it was 2 years ago for Brent's show. Mm-hmm. That was the same night Fedor lost to Fabricio Werdum, because I remember doing that show, and then we went off to watch Strikeforce. I can't remember if you came with us or not, but that was almost 2 years ago. It was June of 2011, and still it hasn't been long enough for me to say, it's been a while. I could watch No Holds Barred again. And that time in 2011 was the first time I'd ever watched that movie, and I was hoping it would be the last.
Yeah, I didn't really... I don't remember that time at all, actually. We recorded a DVD commentary track, or you did at least.
Wade just sat there added very little.
But I don't remember the movie at all, unfortunately.
Oh, so I remembered all too much of this.
This was a first viewing for me. And of course, this came out recently on DVD from WWE, and they still promote it, actually, today. Like, what did
they promoted it, but they promoted it as, like, look at this campy piece of garbage we put out a few years ago.
Which is the only reason why anybody would be interested today.
But this was put out, like, seriously in 1989, yeah. Which makes me want to more go back to 1989 to enjoy the buzz of this movie.
Yeah, I would have liked to have gone in, like, on opening weekend, you know, just, like, high expectations. This is going to be good. This is going to be a really good movie. You see,
I was beyond excited the first time when See No Evil came out, and it was the first theatrical release for WWE Studios. And when that WWE logo came up on the big screen, I was fucking excited for that movie.
I think the idea itself is not a bad one. You know?
A movie?
No. Of this movie. We're going to take our biggest star, a pro wrestler, put him in a pro wrestling movie. Personally, I think that's, you know, a bit easier to accept than, you know, putting this guy as a Marine or a bus driver. Wrestler in a wrestling movie. What could be
I don't wrong? Understand why they changed his name in the movie. Why didn't you just call him Hulk Hogan?
I wondered that too, because, I mean, they did include the WWF title as well as called...
He's essentially playing himself, the character, I mean, of Hulk Hogan. He's playing Hulk Hogan as Rip.
I imagine maybe, you know, maybe the Marvel Comics deal had something to do with that. Or perhaps they just wanted a fictitious character to separate itself from Hulk Hogan.
I don't know why. It was just strange to me. Well, I don't know how we dive into this way. This is just 94 minutes of
just go through the basic plot, and then we'll comment throughout.
Well, yes, I did my typical notes.
Yeah, how many pages did you write? It's a whole transcript of a
three pages, and you might say that's crazy, but this was the only way I was getting through this movie, was constantly writing stuff down to keep my attention span at an optimum.
Yeah.
It took me, I think, 10 sittings to watch this movie.
Whoa, that bad?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you hated it.
I had to do like 10-minute intervals and then just stop. The idea of watching this straight, I knew I couldn't do it.
I didn't find this a difficult viewing. I mean, it was only an hour and a half.
You know what also played a factor in this whole thing was, we got that copy of Barbed Wire City, which I really want to watch, and we're going to review that next week. So, spoiler. I had to put that off because I had to watch this first. And I've started watching that show House of Cards, which is on Netflix with Kevin Spacey, and it's awesome. And I just want to watch that this weekend. And in the back of my head, I was like, I got to get through No Holds Barred. And it disrupted my House of Cards viewing.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's a really good show, though. I think if you're a fan of like political dramas, and Kevin Spacey is incredible in this show.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
All right. Well, sorry, but we're going to have
to... What shows are you into right now?
Not too many TV shows. I mean, I'm waiting for...
What was the last series you kind of just sat down and maybe watched a whole season of?
The Newsroom, I was a big fan of.
Yeah. It's coming back in July, I think, with season two.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Season three is going to be all, I think, Boston.
Yeah.
And CNN season. Blowing the arrest.
It really is how I get my news. I really don't follow the news too much, so I just wait until...
wait a few years later. They got news. Bin Laden.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the last...
Tape-delayed news with Wei Ting.
Yeah, that was the last series I really watched. I mean, I'm always a big fan of The Office, even though...
I've heard it's not that bad now, even with Carell gone.
I've always enjoyed it. I mean, I like the cast of characters. I like the tone of the whole thing. It's not the greatest show, but
Do you still watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
It's not even on anymore.
Oh, it's done.
Well, there's another season. There could be another season, but I don't know if anything's been reported yet. I could be wrong.
Are you going to watch Total Divas on the E! Network?
Yes, I am. That I'll watch. Absolutely.
A reality show on the WWE Divas.
I actually look forward to that.
Yeah, they haven't announced if it's a half hour, if it's an hour, when it's going to debut.
An hour might be tough.
An hour would be really tough.
Yeah. But I think it's a great idea. I mean, honestly, sorry, at this point, though, these women, they're not involved in any wrestling storylines.
So they'll have plenty of time for this show.
Exactly.
I don't want it to be shitty reality TV where it's just so painfully planned out. Like, I would love,
like gut check.
Yeah, like a tough enough kind of, not that we're doing all these obstacles and shit, but just like, look into these people's lives and stuff. This could get them over tremendously, way more than television could with Raw.
I think it's going to be more like those Real Housewives shows.
I think
where
so
they
too.
Just basically follow these women. And I don't know. Do they have challenges on those types of shows?
I've never watched Reality Housewives of any city or state.
But I imagine this to be. And I think it's a great idea. It also just tells me that this network probably isn't going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because this was one of the... When they sent out that survey about a year ago, they were throwing out all these ideas. And one of them was like Diva Bus or something like that.
Yeah.
Putting them all on a bus.
It was like Heels on Wheels, I think was the name of one of the names.
Oh, man. They had some terrible names. Yeah. But you're right. If they're just shopping out these shows now, it would be interesting. That Legends House is shot... Produce. Mm-hmm. It's sitting there. It's ready to go.
You can't let those, you can't let that footage sit there too long.
Well, it might sound dark, but
yeah.
If one or two of those guys were to die,
absolutely.
Can you put that series out? Is that going to be kind of weird? Like these hokey legends dancing and stuff, and one of them dies?
They seem incredibly dated, first of all.
Yeah.
And maybe a little distasteful.
Yeah, so I don't know. This network, I don't know. They're marching forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. But I look forward to these reality shows. They kind of pique my interest. That Legends House, I'm looking forward to that too, whenever it's supposed to air.
Have you made a decision on your cable bill with Rogers and Spike TV?
Right, shit. Well, I'm going to decide the day that it comes. Most likely I'll grab it just to keep the podcast going.
I think you can honestly expense it.
Maybe, yeah. I'd like to know if people, our audience in Canada.
I would love to know if people are planning to pick up Spike TV, because it sounds like you have to actively order this. It's not even a case of Spike TV, it could just roll over and suddenly you're getting charged this like hidden fee. Mm-hmm. I think you have to actually call and get this extra $5.99 a month package, which mm-hmm. I'd see a lot of people saying, fuck it. If you're mm-hmm. a wrestling fan or a Bellator fan, there are alternate means that people are going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. No holds barred.
You've been trying to delay this actual conversation for about, I don't know, 20 minutes now.
I just like talking to you, why?
Well, we can talk about this movie.
I like talking to you. You're a good talker.
Am I?
Yeah. Well,
thank you. Yeah. Likewise.
Hey, how was hip-hop karaoke?
You're not skipping this review.
You're not going to tell us?
We actually didn't go.
You didn't go?
Yeah, because my friend Elliot, who wanted to perform.
This is Elliot Minardi,
Elliot
correct?
Minardi, yeah.
You know a few Elliots now, so I got to keep them straight.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he wanted to perform. There's this thing called hip-hop karaoke in Toronto, and I believe it exists in a number of other cities, too, around the world. You go up and you perform rap songs to rap instrumentals. Sometimes they might have lyrics, sometimes not. But usually,
oh, so some guys will go up and like, will some guys like freestyle new lyrics
It's very important. You're not allowed to freestyle.
Really?
Yeah, that's part of the rules. You're here to do covers. You're not here to freestyle. If you're here to freestyle, go to a freestyle battle. But this is
sounds intense.
Hip hop karaoke, HHK.
HHK.
Yeah, you can only do other people's.
What would your song of choice be if you got up there?
Oh, I would do. Kick in the Door by Biggie or Life's a Bitch by Nas and AZ.
Cool.
Those are my go-tos.
Yeah. I would love to see this.
But yeah, my buddy wanted to perform, and he had to work that evening, so they found out that they didn't even allow people to come on until like 11 o'clock.
Have you seen Elliot perform before?
No. He's done it. He did it in London, he said, this last time he went. So.
What did he do? Did he say what song he did?
Yeah, he did The Jump Off by Wu-Tang.
Wow. I'd love to see Elliot.
No, I would too.
This guy's one of the most interesting guys I've ever. He was actually the first person I met in Ryerson. He was the first friend I made in that program.
Interesting.
And yeah, he was a huge like metal fan, and we just started talking about metal stuff, and my knowledge was very limited. And this guy is seriously like an encyclopedia when it comes to music. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And yeah, he turned me on to this group called Miss Sugar, and I picked up a CD of theirs on his recommendation.
Wow, and how did you like the Miss Sugar?
It wasn't for me, but I gave it a listen.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there you go.
You used to be a wrestling fan?
Yeah, everyone used to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And then they watch shit like this, and I'm like, why the fuck do I bother?
Yeah, I got hip-hop karaoke now.
1989. This film was actually very interesting, because it was during the shooting of this movie that it's alleged that Hulk Hogan first introduced Vince McMahon to steroids.
Ooh, wow.
It's during the filming of this.
Okay.
Yep. Talks about that in his second book as well. And yeah, so I guess some familiar faces in this movie. Way outside of Hulk Hogan, we had Gene Okerlund playing himself, Jesse Ventura. And for whatever reason, they used Gene Okerlund was the play-by-play voice, and then Ventura the color commentator. No Vince or Gorilla Monsoon. Instead, they went with Mean Gene.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Vince
didn't put himself in the movie.
Put himself or Gorilla.
We also had, in the opening scene, a wrestler that was getting beat up by Rip, Jake Bullitt, who was a Bill 80 for Axe from Demolition.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Cool.
And another couple of cameos. Stan Hansen had a small role, which was another interesting one because no affiliation with the World Wrestling Federation.
I found that interesting, too.
So, and he got into this movie.
I thought he was a standout. Yep. Standout in this film. And I was surprised he didn't get something out of it.
Yep. He was the penis inspector. One of many highlights of this movie.
God.
Did you notice any other wrestlers that had cameos in this movie?
No, I don't. Although I saw in the credits that Judo Gene LeBeau was a stuntman.
Oh, that's not surprising. Yeah. I mean, that guy has done stunt work on just about any notable film with combat in it. And of course, has the wrestling connection from wrestling in L.A. So mm-hmm. there you go. Still around to this day.
Yeah.
Threatening to burn people's houses down on Fight Network IDs.
What?
Did you never, when we went to Cauliflower Alley in 2006, we got a bunch of guys to do IDs for the Fight Network.
Yeah.
So I go up to Gene LaBelle and I was like, I explained to him the idea and everything. He's like, yeah, yeah, just roll. I'll do it. I'm like, okay, you know what you're going to say? He's like, I'll think of something. And he's like, this is Judo Gene LaBelle and you're watching the Fight Network. Watch or I'll burn your house down.
Oh, Jesus.
And we never ran it.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, we got the out, and thus that idea, I guess.
No, it. You could still run that. Okay. We don't really run those anyway. But that's really cool.
Yeah, it was the best idea ever.
Yeah, cornering Ronda Rousey every single time.
Man. Oh, I know. Yeah, affiliated with Carl Parisian. So
yep.
There you go. Judo Gene LaBelle. Did you notice anyone else in the credits? I didn't really look at the credits. Any names that stood out?
I'm trying to think, and I can't. I don't remember.
Well, there was one cameo that I didn't think you would recognize, but when we get to it.
All right, I can't wait.
A big reveal. Anyway, so we set things up pretty much introducing Rip. Does he have a last name? Did they ever give this guy a last name, or was it M? E-M. Rip
M. It must have been. I don't know.
So Rip is the big baby face, and he's on network television, and he's doing monster ratings. And the rival World Television Network wants to scoop Rip. And
the
they are
World Television Network.
The World Television Network, WTN, with the head of the network, Brell.
Yeah.
From the Wayne's World films, and he's been in a bunch of shit. Right. Yep.
This is the world's TV station. just like, I think everything about this movie screams that maybe a six-year-old wrote it. Because, like, even just that name, the World Television Network. Well, come up with a TV station. Like, come on.
Do you think that any of this was based off of anything? Like, this was the rival Turner Empire trying to steal our top star.
I would think so. I would think so. This was perhaps Vince's portrayal of who Ted Turner or somebody under Ted Turner would be like.
Thinking that this incompetent fool who beats women is trying to steal our top talent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was Vince's subtle editorializing.
Yeah, perhaps.
So, anyway, he sees they line up this meeting, and this kind of sets up the whole conflict for the movie. Was Rip, who had he seemed any moment of tense situations had this grunting. This grunt that he would do. It just sounded like this animal, like this simpleton animal who responded in growls rather than words.
Well, these guys are beasts. They are hyperhuman beings.
They had a board meeting. And again, I'm going to avoid going doing play-by-play here. So just I'm just outlining some of my highlights of some of these scenes. Was where Brell is looking for new ideas for television shows. And this is after Rip shows up, rips up a blank check. He's offered a blank check.
Yep.
And he rips it up, saying that he is loyal, I guess, to the World Wrestling Federation.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm leaving, Mr. Brell.
Wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. You're not going anywhere until you and I come to an agreement.
Watch me.
Are you trying to tell me my money's not good enough for you? I find that a little hard to swallow, you jackass!
And then he leaves, and he's taken off in a limo. And what happens here, Way? This was they take off in this limo, done to the same saxophone as the opening to WrestleMania 5, as the limo takes a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
And this was their hardline contract negotiating, taking him to an abandoned warehouse to beat the shit out of Rip.
Oh, man. And then he keeps calling him a jockass.
Yeah, that was like, from start to finish, that was the key insult for Brell. Maybe they thought they were going to sell jockass t-shirts. I don't know what does that even...
Jockass.
Jockass. I think either word could have been used in an offensive tone, but together, it's just like, this guy sounded like an idiot. So Hogan is essentially trapped in this limo after they... he tries to kick out of the limo and basically is destroying from the limo from inside, so much so that the limo swerves from Hogan's big thrust kicks to the door as this man is just taking him to this abandoned warehouse. And then they get to the warehouse. There's a bunch of jockasses that have been hired to take apart Rip. And how does Hogan get out of the limo? He somehow allows the roof of the limo to explode, and Hogan, like, fucking Rey Mysterio's out of this limo and onto the platform, and then fights off, like, five different guys, allegedly killed them, tosses them through glass, he lawn darted one guy over the limo, then he tears the limo door off as he's grunting as if he's got rabies, and then says, "What's that smell?" And the guy looks down, the limo driver, and he says, "Pukey." He's vomited.
No.
What?
You just messed up a...
What did I mess up?
The most classic line of classic lines.
What's that smell?
Dookie.
It's Dookie, not Pukey. Should we redo this?
This is a terrible movie. So that is the setup. Well, now we've got Rip versus the network, and the idea to kill Rip fails, so they go the other route. And there's a talent executive named Sam who we are introduced to, played by Joan Severance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, former model.
Former model. She did Playboy, and she did Rip in this movie.
Yes.
So she is assigned here. How was this connection made, Wei? Because I was very confused. She was hired by Brell to, I guess, sleep with Rip and get him to sign over somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow that was going to lead to him changing his moral compass.
In the mind of Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan, this all made perfect sense.
Well, all of a sudden, she is working with Hogan on merchandising ideas and talks about how he has a huge TVQ.
TVQ?
What? Yeah.
What does that mean?
I guess like a Q rating, like an awareness.
Oh, okay.
And then they're in this boardroom, and they line up a date. The sexual tension was running wild here in the boardroom between Rip and Sam.
She just asked him out on a date, basically, in front of all these board members.
Yep. So we cut to the date.
Yep.
Hulk Hogan in his white suit. They meet at this fancy restaurant, and this waiter comes to take their order and tosses the Mexican help away and turns off Hogan with his French speaking.
Yeah.
Because French is clearly the language of elitism.
Well, they're in a French restaurant.
Yes. And so Hogan then wants to take her to somewhere more comfortable, and they go to...
It turns out Hogan is a regular at this place.
Yes, at this... where was... This is
The French restaurant.
The French restaurant. Was Hogan the...
Yeah, because, okay. This is a terrible... Oh. Anyway... we'll carry on. This could be our worst review ever.
But this is the worst movie ever, and I want to do it justice.
We'll carry on. So they're in this French restaurant, and this French waiter is like dismissing this brute, this big brute. You have no class. You know, you're probably looking for a hamburger or a foot long hot dog. And turns out the owner of the place sees Rip and says, "Oh, Rip, you know, the usual?" And then Rip says, "Yes." He says something like, "We."
What dialogue?
He says, "We." And he says something in French, responds in French.
Somehow, we go from that scene to the network executives who have gone to this dive bar, and there's these tough man fights going on, and this features Joe LeDuc.
Right, okay. I thought that, and what about Mad, was this Mad Dog?
No, it wasn't Mad Dog, Bichon. It's Joe LeDuc. They look similar.
Okay, there you go.
Very well-known wrestler out of Quebec, Memphis. His son tried to get into the WWF in the 90s. So Joe LeDuc here was one of the headbangers. And the waitress asks the executives if they're looking to get laid, they should go down the street to the gay bar.
Yeah.
I love it. Even the PG WWF of the late 80s, nothing like a good homosexual joke to establish them as oh, these guys, they must be queers.
Oh, in the, I mean, no, that was the 80s. And actually, what am I saying? Like, jokes like that get made today.
Yes.
It's fine.
This is where we were introduced to Stan Hansen, who was another one of these guys in the Tough Man contest. And the executives are just trying to find out what the rules of this whole Tough Man contest are. And they're alerted that there are no rules. As long as you don't kill anyone, it's the last man standing. And Brell is in love with this concept. He says, this will make some great television.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about people dying.
No.
Insurance.
No, not at all. This is great television. Fight to the almost death. So we had, first of all, the two sidekicks go to the washroom. And did you see plastered on the graffiti-laid wall was, it's the law. As they went to go pee.
No. What's the significance?
Well, that's the radio show we do.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
Anyway, they go to pee and Stan Hansen comes out of one of the stalls and inspects their penises.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a whole scene devoted to how nasty this bathroom is and then Hansen making fun of these guys' teeny wangs.
Well, we...
Stan Hansen with his leaves the room with the toilet paper sticking out of his ass.
Well, of course he's a roughneck.
Yeah,
these guys are.
He doesn't have time to wipe completely.
No,
just leave it in there.
As you've learned, Way, lots of wrestlers don't wash their hands when they go to the washroom.
Yes,
it's a tradition.
Yeah.
So, Brell then announces on a press conference the ever so cleverly named Battle of the Tough Guys, where we're gonna get this. Different fighters of multiple different backgrounds competing in an octagon ring for $100,000 on television. What a concept.
What a great concept in 1989.
This is like the ultimate battle of the tough guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's $100,000 tax-free.
Tax-free.
Yeah, don't forget.
Can you legally do that?
Yeah. No. I don't think you can.
Because I have never seen a contest where it's promoted that this is tax-free. Because I don't know if you can give away money like that tax-free. I'm no accountant.
The only way is if you actually... Is that the real prize is like maybe even more? More than $100,000 so that when you get tax deducted...
Oh, so you're saying maybe it's $150,000 tax deducted.
Yeah.
$100,000.
Or maybe they this is for charity and they get a tax break.
This didn't seem like a charitable outing. No.
I just think that I just try to imagine the meeting between Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan as they're writing this. What should we call this tournament? How about the Battle of the
Tough Guys?
Tough Guys. Yeah.
What are some names? Brock, Chisler, Klondike Kramer. Goddammit.
What about the prize? How about $100,000, Vince? How about $100,000 tax free?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he hates taxes, I bet.
So. They start off these fights, and then in comes Zeus, who they introduce to us. The man that is so jacked, his arms can't even come touch his sides. He's just like, it's like the hanger is still in like his jacket or something like that.
Well, it's very manly.
Yeah, Zeus was another level of Scott Putski in this movie.
Oh, I'd say so.
It was just hilarious watching this guy. He walks in, he like pie faces this woman and lifts her as he just groans. Brell is just smiling, and they had these creepy cuts between Zeus and Brell's eyes, like these close-up shots into their eyes. It was very like White Castle of Fear, like in how they introduced Zeus and just walking in with this smoke and just terribly just garbage. He just kills all the participants. He no-sells and just yells and yells.
The winner and $100,000 richer, the champion of the Battle of the Tough Guys is...
What was the name?
Rip and the crew, meanwhile, are at their compound watching this Battle of the Tough Guys on TV on some shitty 10-inch television. Maybe Hogan should have taken that blank check. He could have upgraded his living conditions here. And Hogan is surrounded by his group, which was this old guy, Charlie, who used to train Zeus. But Zeus has now gone to the dark side.
Yeah, that whole thing.
And of course, his brother Randy. Oh, I hated Randy.
I did too.
God damn.
Looked more like his son, first of all.
Yeah, his parents really spaced this out. We had like 40-year-old Terry Bollea and like 12-year-old Randy.
Yeah.
Jesus. Zeus also had a unibrow.
Yeah, and the trainer tells us that Zeus once killed somebody in the ring by hitting him after the bell.
Ooh.
Killed somebody.
Very Paul Daly-esque.
Yeah.
So Zeus just kills everybody in this tournament, wins, yells his name, and then the next day the headline on the newspaper reads, Ex-Con Zeus, Thriller or Killer? And Battle of the Tough Guys was number one in the time slot, but the World Television Network receiving angry telegrams of children who had nightmares because of Zeus protesting this.
I've never received a telegram, nor have I seen one sent.
This is how people communicated in the 80s,
How do people receive telegrams?
You'd have someone dictate it. If you had a secretary, they could write out, heads of business would do this.
Okay.
And send a... You'd mail someone a letter.
So it's a fucking note. Why don't you
had a proper name, a telegram.
Telegram, okay.
Yeah, it's like you gotta have a specific name for this.
What's a fucking note? What's the difference?
They overnighted it to the World Television Network to let them know about...
Is it a special type of paper or a card that these get sent in?
No, nothing special.
It's a letter. Just,
letterhead or whatever you choose to use.
So if I wrote a letter to you, would it be a telegram?
You could if you wanted.
If I sent a letter to the bank... Did I telegram a letter to the bank?
Well, what would you want to tell them via telegram? I mean,
I'd like to cancel my bank account, or I'd like to.
That's probably an in-person kind of transaction, though.
Whatever.
What do you think?
Whatever.
So, this much like anything, they were just going to try to burn the audience out with Battle of the Tough Guys. It's on to week two.
Yeah, once a week, man.
No, this was like, Jesus Christ, talk about overkill, kind of oversaturation of the market.
They'll learn.
Taking a little bit more out of UFC.
It's like the Bellator model.
So week two featured Zeus taking on a man by the name of Lug Wrench Perkins. Did you recognize him?
No, I did not. Who's this?
This was the man who would go on years later to be known in wrestling as the Ultimate Solution, Jeep Swenson.
Oh, shut up.
So we got Z Gangster and the Ultimate Solution back-to-back weeks.
Could that not be the reason why they hired them both at the same time?
Maybe. Maybe Eric Bischoff put in No Holds Barred and said, get me Stan Hansen, Lug Wrench Perkins, and Zeus. And they said, we can only get two of the three.
Yes.
Or Klondike... Bill or wherever the fuck that guy's name was.
Come to think of it, I think there's a bit of a resemblance between Brell and Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
A physical resemblance.
Very much so.
Get me this guy.
Maybe Brian was going to be, or Randy. Sorry, Randy would have been brought into WCW as Hogan's long-lost brother.
Yeah.
Little Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Somebody pointed out last week, too, in our feedback threads that, what's his name again? Ultimate Solution,
The Ultimate Solution, Jeep Swenson.
Jeep Swenson also played Bane.
Yeah, oh, he had a big movie career. I mean, a lot of notable parts.
He played Bane in the Batman and Robin movie starring George Clooney.
Yeah, died in 1998, I believe.
Oh,
so
sad.
Yeah, well, you look at this guy, and there was a man was brought to you by a lot of chemicals. I mean, right. this guy was one of the largest men I've ever seen.
Hmm.
I mean, just jacked to the gills here. Anyway,
so these matches, tell me about these matches, John.
Well, this one involved a giant wrench. They were allowed weapons in this match, and they were fighting in like this industrial compound. There were sparks flying everywhere. It was like this, not just a wrench, like I mean I fucking like looked like it weighed 100 pounds that
like
they were trying to kill each other with.
Like a sledgehammer.
Like death was the only outcome here, and Zeus ends up choking him with this giant thing.
So these aren't even wrestling matches. Even though he's the World Wrestling Federation champion, this guy, Brell, I guess, he's putting on shows that are just all-out fights.
Well, he's trying to... This is the real thing, not like that fake pro wrestling shit. This is the real deal Zeus, who had quite the outfit here. His gray and black spandex deal had his name written on them. I mean, definitely had an artistic designer behind the madness.
Yeah.
So during this whole time, Rip is kind of, we saw him watch the first week of the Battle of the Tough Guys, but not really addressing Zeus here. And we go back to him and Sam on a date at this restaurant. And this was more this kind of rundown restaurant, you know?
Yeah,
not a fancy place at all.
Yeah, just more of a diner.
And amazing timing that right as they walk in, an armed robbery takes place with Rip inside of the restaurant. And what should happen, but Rip gets up, approaches these men who are all armed, clotheslines them, and beats the shit out of all of these guys with their guns, no less. No one is shot, and Rip saves the day.
He fights them with pies.
He threw pies over and over at these men who are holding guns. How did none of these guys shoot Hulk Hogan? But this starts to win Joan over. She's a fan of crime fighting.
Yeah, well, come on. If a guy can do this with pies, imagine what else he could do.
So the only logical thing you do after a date is you check into a hotel room together. They're going on the road now together for whatever purpose. And they get to the hotel, and sure as shit, there's only one room left. And you know what's in that room, Way? It's a single bed.
Right. And this was the only hotel, I guess. Maybe something big convention was happening.
Yep, maybe, I don't know.
WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah. So Hulk Hogan sets up this curtain in the middle of the bed as Sam is in the bathroom getting ready for bed. And then we've got what I can only imagine was the most awkward scene any young wrestling fan has ever had to sit through. If they were in a movie theater going to see the real American Hulk Hogan as he managed to have the most awkward, sexually charged scene of his young acting life. And if anyone thought that Hulk Hogan had a future in movies, God, did this scene state otherwise. Sam comes out in, lingerie as Hulk Hogan. What's Hulk Hogan wearing here, Way? Brought to you by the neon orange color.
Yeah, he's wearing an orange
tank top
thong
with, these pants that were, a thong almost.
He's wearing briefs, orange briefs.
So,
bright orange.
She gets into bed on one side, and Rip is on the other, and we get this testimonial from Sam that she's just too busy to date as they lie in bed together. And then Sam awakens to what you could only assume was Rip ripping it on the other end. And yeah. Sam turns the curtain open to see if they could literally catch Hulking up when instead he was doing push-ups.
Okay, wait a second. She looks over to the other side, and the camera gets a close-up of what appears to look like the tip of the head of a penis. I don't even know what body part this was.
It looked rather big.
Like they had to put some, his feet together or something to resemble the head of a penis, and that's all you saw. But it turns out he was just doing push-ups. Vigorously doing push-ups.
This movie sucked.
This was just straight out of the mind of you watch a movie like this, and all the garbage that we see on WWE TV every single week, it makes so much more sense. You know, this is the level of humor, and this is the level of wit.
It's gonna be your feet, but it's gonna look like a dick. Yeah, and she's gonna hear you moaning.
Yeah. This is the level of, art that we're dealing with.
Yeah, high art at its finest. So Hulk then jumps onto the bed, which breaks, and Sam falls on top of him.
Yeah.
If there's anything I think fans wanted to see, it was Hulk Hogan about to get laid by Sam.
There's a tape out there.
Well, yeah, they got to see
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people want to see it.
Oh, the uncensored version of No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
So What happens? Oh, then we got The Challenge, which was right out of 1995 WCW, where Rip is at some kids' wrestling tournament and a helicopter lands. This was on the Baywatch show, remember? When Kevin Sullivan and the Dungeon of Doom come to challenge Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage at some kids' event?
Oh, there was a chopper, too?
Yeah, remember they land? This was the exact scene. I'm convinced Eric Bischoff has watched this movie.
Well, listen, there's a budget, and what are you going to spend that money on?
A helicopter,
yeah,
for effect.
Why not?
So, Zeus lands here. He's wearing his giant Z belt buckle to come challenge Rip in person along with Brell and the executives. And Rip will not answer the challenge, and they declare Zeus the winner. I am the bigger man than you, Hulk Hogan.
Uh-huh.
So, then we go to a parking garage. We actually got a scene here that was as closely implied to... rape, as I imagine you can get in the movie.
It wasn't implied. He was
raping her.
Yeah, he was in a missionary position with this woman on the ground.
This was one of Brell's thugs who attacks Sam, who is getting out of her car.
Yeah, by the way, Sam has now, she's fallen in love with Rick, for real. She's no longer working with Brell anymore. She refuses to seduce him to help
did
Brell.
We pass that scene already where Brell and Sam had the big breakup and Brell backhand slaps her in the face?
Yeah. She gets treated like shit in this.
Yep. Well, she's attacked in the parking lot, and as this man is going to rape her, Rip shows up on a motorcycle, chases this guy away. Then he lands on the front of the motorcycle, and then Rip hits the brakes. This guy goes flying and runs into a tree.
Yeah.
Did you catch the license plate on Rip's motorcycle?
Rip him. Yeah.
So this guy was dead, apparently.
Yeah.
By tree.
Harley and me and you and the tree.
Yep.
Man.
What happens next, Wade?
All right, then Rick's brother, Randy, gets captured, and Zeus...
This is my actually favorite scene of the whole movie.
Okay.
Was Randy and his friend here. Zeus is killing some other guy as they're watching on, and they call Randy and his friend Zeus fans, and they say, "We are not Zeus fans." And it leads to Zeus... attacking Randy and calling Rip yellow. And Zeus screams at the top of his lungs, grabs Randy's throat, and by grabbing his throat, Randy is knocked unconscious via slaps to the face. And this apparently has also paralyzed him because Rip then apparently just telepathically understands Randy has been hurt, because then he just breaks into Zeus's gym. Like, there's no, like, connection between this attack and Rip being notified of this attack. He just breaks into Zeus's gym and starts throwing shit around. He rips down a picture of Zeus. He runs into a mirror that he thinks Zeus is there, but it's just an image of Zeus. Then he throws a dumbbell at this giant Z, and sparks explode. This was just, like, brought to you by cheap crack or something. Like, this was fucked.
And it was quite boring at this point.
Yep. He kicked a TV over, that exploded. Then he grabbed some, like, long pole and just fucking javelin tossed it into a surveillance camera. The executives, meanwhile, are in some suite watching all of this go down. There's just no connection to logic or time or anything that resembled the word plot to this movie at all. It was just a lot of... piece these puzzles pieces together, and hopefully you can come up with some coherent thread of time continuum.
I think you would have to either be a child or like mentally handicapped to really enjoy a lot of this.
So, after the attack on Randy, the match is announced. Zeus against Rip. And then we got a nice musical montage of Zeus training for this, and how does he train for Rip?
You tell me. I was really bored by this point.
Well, you know how Rocky set up those big slabs of meat that he would punch?
Yep.
Well, Zeus did the exact same thing, except instead of meat, there were cinder blocks.
No, he's punching cinder blocks.
And they exploded, of course. Right. Have you ever punched the cinder block?
I can't say I have.
I don't think this would happen no matter who was punching a cinder block, but this is Zeus's training method.
Oh, the hardest puncher in the world? I mean, I don't know. You don't think the a professional boxer could break a cinder block?
I don't know.
Okay.
So after Rip's sexually charged scene with Sam, he now had to go to a place that many actors, you know, they just... There's a difference between reciting lines and being an actor, because there's an art to it, and it requires you to go to places that, you know, you might not be comfortable for. And this was a very emotionally charged scene of Rip at Randy's bedside, as Randy was paralyzed from these slaps.
And in a coma.
And, yeah, in a coma. And Rip is in tears.
Hulk Hogan here is trying to act.
Telling Randy how proud I am of you and how much he loves Randy and says, you know, you're gonna recover from this. And it would lead to a big another montage. You can never have enough montages, way, of Randy nursing himself back to health, like a fallen bird being nurtured to fly again.
Yeah, it was just amazing.
He had to learn how to walk again from these slaps.
Yep. It was just amazing to see Hulk Hogan try to act in a crying scene. He looks really sarcastic. It looked like somebody like complaining about somebody who's crying a lot, and then they're going like, "Eh, way, way." Like that's what Hogan looked like, except it was real.
So the night of the big fight, Rip has his whole entourage there, but magically, security just steals Sam away into an oncoming elevator, and they just take her away. And then they notice, "Hey, Sam's gone." And Rip gets a call saying, "Make it look good for 10 minutes. This is Brell on the phone. And then we want you to put Zeus over." Mm-hmm. Wants him to do the clean job to Zeus.
There's no way wrestling could be fixed.
Nope.
Come on.
So the match begins as Brell is watching from the event center. And they took a lot of shortcuts in this match, a lot of plunder.
Oh, man, this match looked terrible.
Live studio audience here. And
of like what, 20 people?
Yeah, it looked worse than like the Impact Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And all the executives are watching, and Sam sneaks out of the suite where they have trapped her, and we got this great dramatic elevator chase where, oh, will the door close in time? And it magically does, right? As they're just a millimeter away from the elevator, and everyone, Charlie and the and his friend make a save. They attack them with a fire extinguisher to rescue Sam. Zeus, meanwhile, rips the ring post out and is trying to apparently just decapitate Rip. And
why haven't we seen that attempted in a real wrestling match? Somebody
ripping the ring post out? Well, for this reason, Way, because the you know, Rip had the reflexes of a cat here, getting out of the way as Rip then moves, and Zeus puts the ring post right through the ring, right through the canvas.
Through the canvas, through the wood that's underneath there.
Zeus grabs hold of Rip's neck and apparently breaks his neck.
What?
He just, like, twists it. The neck.
Hogan's neck?
Yeah.
Hogan was still walking.
Well, I guess it wasn't an effective neck break, though.
Okay.
Well, anyway. Got a lot of shitty back and forth here between the two. Randy was cheering so much, he falls over in his wheelchair, and he's crying as Zeus climbs the stairs. And then Rip is
crying.
Well, Randy does a lot of crying in this movie. Brell is getting pissed here. He's destroying the control room as Hogan is making his comeback.
Why does he just start destroying his control room?
Well, because maybe he wants this show to go off the air.
Why can't you just call and say, "Hey, take us off the air, or hit the button"?
This was the 80s. It was wild.
He's more...
It wasn't as technologically... Maybe he thought he'd have to send a telegram, and this would be faster.
Okay.
Anyway, Rip then goes after Brell, and he's like growling like a dog, throws a chair through the glass, and Brell calls him jockass, and... Oh, sorry, this is all before he murders Zeus. He knocks him off a platform and he falls through the ring when the ring collapses.
Yeah.
Then he goes after Brell. And Brell gets electrocuted in the control room. And apparently we've just watched two men die on live television.
Well, death is the only way to solve your problems. I mean, especially issues like TV ratings.
And that's it. We just got some music. He celebrates with Randy and ends the movie with the Rip'em sign, which is the old hang loose that Chuck Liddell and many have made famous. Right. And we go to the credits. That was it. Winner by death, Rip.
Yeah, obviously nobody cares that these people have died. Oh,
I give this movie negative 10 out of 10.
I don't even need to give a rating. I give it a...
Did we do this review justice?
Light bulb out of 10.
I don't know how good this review was.
Terrible.
I'm not into this at all.
This review sucked. But that's okay. I think, you know, like this movie, I think you can really enjoy it on a campy level, certainly. But even I found it to be just too much, just too boring. And I'm amazed that, you know, like imagine reading this plot just in written form like you just have. And how would anybody...
Imagine selling this on some of the talent on this movie. Here's your character.
How would anybody be willing to put any type of money into making this happen? Or even not just money, but time. I want you to devote time to making this a reality. Why? I don't know. Maybe it didn't cost much. But, oh, God.
Yeah, it cost enough. This was like a full motion picture.
Well,
like,
maybe
this
they
was
set
a
up-
wide release and...
Yeah, maybe they set out to make a really bad movie, and I think they achieved that.
Let's find out how much this movie costs to make. What do you think? I'm going to say like $20
million. Back then? No. Yeah, I'm guessing maybe five?
Let's see if we can find it here. 3.8 out of 10 on IMDb. We don't have...
Go to the Wikipedia.
Yeah, maybe the Wikipedia should have it. I guess these are all unofficial numbers, but... $8
million. Okay.
And it actually made money. $16 million at the box office, so...
Well, there you go.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it worked.
There you go. Produced by Michael Ratchmill, and the man who's responsible for writing this, Dennis Hacken, and maybe minor credits to Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon.
All right. Congrats to all of them.
Yeah, whoever wants credit for it. June the 2nd of 1989, this film came out, and then... you know, they tried to take this, they brought Zeus in after this, got a SummerSlam pay-per-view out of it.
Yeah, they did. Zeus made a whole career out of this, almost. He started to bill himself as Tiny Zeus Lister.
He's now 54 years old.
Alright, what did you guys think of this movie? Let's go to Bobby Bittman, who says, to gain a full appreciation for this movie and the promotion behind it, you'd have to have watched... the clips shown during the 89, which featured the wrestlers coming out of the movie theater and extolling the virtues of the film. This went on for several weeks at the close of both Superstars and Wrestling Challenge.
G. Hall writes, I remember watching all the hype and the ensuing involvement with Zeus that followed when this film was released. I never got around to watching the film until much later when it became available on one of Roger's movies channels. I was never able to sit through the entire film because it was really terrible and cliche. I sincerely feel for you guys taking one for the team like this.
Jay Hunter, thank God for No Holds Barred. We get to see the real Hulk Hogan, the sophisticated gentleman who doesn't care about money, only charity, and his brother's recovery. Yep. Couple of kayfabe questions. How could Rip face Zeus? Rip works for WWF, and Zeus works for the Brell on a rival network, the WTN. That's like Robert Root challenging John Cena. Why did Randy go see Zeus fight? Hogan hadn't accepted the challenge yet. Maybe he's a big Zeus mark, aren't we all? What a huge bitch Hogan's love interest Samantha is. To get the girl, all you have to do is be the biggest draw on television, speak French, and be a cultured restaurateur, stop a robbery, an attempted rape, a kidnapping, and forgive her for trying to sink your career. Great message. However, I did love the hotel room skit where Sam wakens to the sound of pumping bed springs from Hogan's side. Overall, 3 Shaka Bra failed hand signals out of 10.
Next up, this movie was complete shit. The only lingering thought that went through my mind was why Hulk Hogan was wearing different colored wrestling gear. Well, there you go. There's a question you want to leave a movie with.
Okay.
Why don't you finish things off, Way? We were just bombarded with feedback this week.
No, we got another one from John, actually, who says, WWE, did you know, in this movie, Zeus defeated a character named Lug Wrench Perkins, who was Jeep Swenson, who also teamed up. Yes, we just went through that. Also in the movie was Bill Eady, which we went through as well. Oh, okay. And then he posts up a link for apparently No Holds Barred, the match / the movie. This was a wrestling special that the WWF...
I got the match in the movie. That was the climax of the movie.
No, this was a different one.
Why would I want to see another match after the movie?
This is Hogan and Beefcake versus Randy Savage and Zeus in a steel cage match.
Yep.
So there you go. You can check that out. Maybe we'll review that at some point.
And final one comes from Alan Gaynor. Really looking forward to hearing this review. I went to see this film during its first week of release and probably watched it another 10 times on home video afterwards. There are probably going to be some negative comments directed at this film, so here are a few positive ones. All right, I like this. Number one, it is one of the most successful films the WWE has ever been involved with. It made $16 million at the box office. That's more than John Cena's entire filmography. Plus, they made more of a profit on the DVD release last year than they did on any film they had been involved with for years. Number two, it's one of the greatest non-documentary wrestling films of all time. Number one, of course, is The Wrestler, but number two is wide open. Maybe it is this film. Maybe it is Nacho Libre. Maybe it is Ready to Rumble. The competition is stiff. Number three, Demolition's Bill Eady delivered a star-making performance as Jake Bullitt. It hasn't led to much follow-up work, but sometimes it takes a good 25 years to build on that type of momentum. I wonder if Demolition Smash was jealous and had an axe to grind with his partner. In short, you'd have to be a real jockass to not appreciate No Holds Barred. Well, there you go. Very, very clever from Alan Gaynor.
Jockass.
All right. An insult I have never heard before nor since that movie.
Well, maybe we'll start the
Jockass. Maybe it'll make a big comeback in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for bearing with us. This was a rough one to navigate through. I hated watching this movie. Tried to do our best. Hope we did it justice for you. But Mr. Ting, we're going to get on out of here in a couple of minutes, but we kind of mentioned it earlier. Next week, we're not going to go the three-hour pay-per-view route because we have received an advanced screening of or advanced copy there, rather, of Barbed Wire City, which has gotten tremendous reviews from those that have seen it. It just premiered this past Saturday night at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia, and they're taking it to a bunch of festivals, and it's available now at barbedwirecity.com. I don't envision we're going to get a ton of feedback for this because it's just come out, but you can watch it online right now. You can pay through High Spots or on the website to go watch it. But we'll review that next week, kind of looking at ECW. Because we've seen, you know, other documentaries released. There was The Rise and Fall of ECW, Forever Hardcore. This one's really cool in the fact that they have been working on this since the year 2000. They were at so many different ECW shows. They've got a lot of rare footage from some fan Q&As and stuff that were held back when ECW was still running. So this has been a big, big project from John Filipovich and his team working there. So we're going to be joined by John on the show next week, and we'll chat about this documentary.
I look forward to it.
So that's coming up next week, a very ECW-themed edition of Review Away coming up next week. And as we get on out of here, Way, so many different directions we can go music-wise. I mean, we could go the hip-hop karaoke route. We could go something from 1989. You clearly have something on your mind.
No, well, we got – I don't know if you used it at the beginning or not. I couldn't hear, but we got to go out with the theme song to No Holds Barred. Was this not by Jim Johnston?
Yeah, it was.
We definitely have to go with this because I don't know if you played it earlier or not, but I mean, just the lyrics of this piece of garbage, I think, are just a classic.
Awesome. Okay, well, we're going to go out then with this classic theme to No Holds Barred, a movie I will never watch again in my entire lifetime. I promise you that.
Okay.
So that is all for us this week. In the meantime, you can go to liveaudiowrestling.com, subscribe to Live Audio Wrestling on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, at Law Radio, at Way0937. Lots of shows, lots of interviews, lots of cool stuff coming your way. And we are now going to remove this movie from our brains and come back next week chatting Barbed Wire City on Review Away.